Morning. Pleasure to be with you today to be able to study God's Word, to sing and pray, and to now again turn our attention to the Word of God that He has communicated to us. It's good to be back home. As I told the class earlier, we had a good gospel meeting in Oklahoma City 2 weeks ago with the 84th Street congregation. There was one baptism during the week, and just a very enjoyable and upbuilding time as we worshiped together and studied together from God's Word. And then, of course, this past week, I again express our thanks on behalf of Debbie and our family for your prayers and thoughts and every expression of your love toward her especially and toward all of our family at the passing of my father-in-law, of her father, Floyd Henderson. We have visitors today, and we thank you very much that you're here. We appreciate it. We have the Bannisters visiting from the Arlington area. We have Simmons from the Yakima area. And I was in school with Brother Chris Simmons' father years ago. And that makes you feel old. It makes me feel old. I don't know if it makes you feel old. It makes me feel old. So it's good to meet them. Good to see them. Other visitors we have as well. We're glad that you're with us. More than anything, our intent, our interest is to honor God, to worship Him in spirit and in truth, to give Him the praise and the adoration that He is worthy, of which He is worthy. And so if you have any questions about what we practice or what we teach, then we want you to ask those questions of us. We want to go to God's Word, believe that we can, in an understanding way, with reverence in our heart and obedience as our intent to do the will of God in everything. So if we practice something that's not found in the Word of God, we would hope that we would have the humility and desire to correct those errors and to stand in God's pleasing sight. And we hope that that's your desire as well if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. We hope that today you will say, this is the time that I will no longer delay, that I will no longer put off that which I know is right and that which I know I need in order to be saved. And that is the blood of Jesus Christ and your obedience to His gospel by in faith, repenting of your sins, confessing that He is the Lord, He is Christ, repenting of your sins and being baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and then to walk in newness of life, serve Him faithfully from this day forward. We want to assist you in that. We want to encourage you in it. And we hope that you'll respond to God's call to salvation in His gospel at the conclusion of our study this morning. As God's people, if there is sin that is left in our lives that we have not yet repented of, then we want to also encourage us to carefully and soberly investigate ourselves. It's not always easy to do. It's much easier to examine someone else than it is ourselves. But to look at ourselves in the light of the mirror of truth and to so conform ourselves to God's will and to repent of sin that we find, to change our heart, and change our life, to be in harmony with His will for us, to walk with Him every day, to abide in Christ. And we hope that we can encourage that if that's your need as well today. I want to study a little bit with you this morning about time. You know, time is a blessing, but we really don't control it, but we use it. You know, what I'm thinking about is last night I lost an hour of sleep. We think we can control time, but we don't really control it. I mean, the sun came up at the same time it always comes up, depending on the season, and because you see, God established time. I wonder if we think about that from time to time, pardon the pun, but do we think about the fact that God created time? We didn't do that. We can manipulate the clock, but we don't control time. But we use it, and we're supposed to use it in a way that pleases God. In Genesis 1, verse 14, the Word of God says that God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, for days and years." So you see, it's God who established time. It's He that created us in a context of time. God is eternal. And you see, that's the contrast that's made in Psalm 103 that Brother Troy read for us a moment ago. In that passage, do you see the contrast? Our days are like grass, like the flowers of the field, so he perishes. It's rained a lot in the Phoenix Valley this winter, and the desert right now is green. It's lush. And that's an unusual sight, because in just a few months it will be barren and it will be dry and it will be brown. And God's Word says that's how our life is. We flourish for a moment, but then the wind passes over it and it's gone. The sun will be down upon that green desert down there in Arizona, and the wind will blow and the dust will get to blowing and it'll all turn brown. And what is green today will soon no longer be green, no longer be alive. Well, you see, we're like that. We're alive for a while. Time here on earth is a time that is a blessing God has given us, but we really, while we use our time, we don't control it. At the same time, note with me the contrast of the mercy of the Lord. His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. God is not bound by time. He created it for us to live in upon His creation upon this earth. But you see, just as He is eternal, His mercy is everlasting. And He shows that on those who fear Him. You see, as we live here in the context of time, we must be thinking in a timeless perspective. We must be making decisions that go beyond the temporary. Because we are temporary, except that we are made in the image of God and we have an immortal soul that is going to go on past this present context of time. We're going to go into the realm of eternity. And so the decisions that we make now of the use of our time will be judged by God. We will answer to Him for it, even as Jesus taught in His parables. He taught, you remember, in the parable of the talents. And the man who had been blessed with one talent, he did not use that which his master had given him, nor the time that he had, even to earn some interest for his master. That's how you earn interest. You know, you put the money to work, and over time, with a bank, or a banker, an investment, you hope it earns some money. So there's a context of time there, an element of time. He should have used his time, if nothing else, to invest his master's blessing, so there would have been an increase. He was judged for a failure to do that. Brethren, we're going to be judged for how we use our time. And so the Bible says, redeeming our time. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. Were we not to be held accountable, then why would God tell us, be careful how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. You see, the days bring with them calamity, uncertainty, trials, joys and sorrows, temptations abound. We must be careful how we live, knowing these things, and use the opportunities, buy up our opportunities, redeem the blessing of time that God has given us. Because one day we will have it no more. And I care not if you're 8 or 80, one day you will no longer have time. You will then be in eternity based upon how, among other things, how we use our time. Did we use it to serve God? Do we use it to live for God? Consider with me for a few moments this morning that there is a time that is acceptable for obeying God. There's a time that is acceptable. And if we ignore it and refuse to use the acceptable time that is before us to obey God, that then we harden ourselves against God. We harden ourselves against our opportunities to be obedient to Him and be saved in Christ and to serve Him, and we miss those opportunities and we squander the time that we have. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 1, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. a time to be born and a time to die. A time to pluck what is planted, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. And he goes on. You see, there is a season for everything. There is a time. And there is a season in which we should hear the voice of God. We live in that season. We live in that moment at this very instant, at this very second. We have the opportunity right now, with God's Word before us, to listen to God and to express a reverence for God in our reaction, in our response to His Word. Look at Psalm 95 with me, please. Psalm 95, 6. Psalm 95 and verse 6. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts, as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness. You see, He says, today, if you'll hear His voice. This is the acceptable time. We, He says, the psalmist says, we belong to God. He has made us. We are His. So, do not harden your heart against Him. Listen to God. There's an acceptable time. It's right now to listen to God. To make up our mind that we're going to listen to God, to what God has to say, rather than what the world is saying to us. And to yield ourselves rather than rebel against His Word and His will. Hebrew writer uses this verse, and he makes an application to Christians. Go with me to Hebrews 3, verses 12 and 13, as he makes the application, teaching Christians then and now to be careful, to be diligent, that is, to wisely use the time that we have. You can't get it back. Why do they call it daylight saving time when we lost an hour last night? I don't understand that. Well, they say we're going to make it up in the fall. But you can't get back the time that's passed. You can't get it back. But you see, but how we use our time right now has something to say about what we're going to be in the future. And in our future, when we look back at this moment, it'll say something about what we did with the time that we had. That make sense? Look at Hebrews 3 and 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Every day, daily, use your time to exhort, to encourage, to obey God, to hear His voice. Verse 7 from Psalm 95. Hear His voice. Listen to His Word. Are we? Am I? Really? Am I listening to God? Not if I'm not reading His Word, I'm not listening to God. Not if I'm not using what He says to apply it to my life. Oh, I'm hearing it, but I'm not believing it. You see, hearing His Word then means let's use what we have, the time that we have, to get right with God. Do we believe what we hear? Is the next question. If we're going to use our time to listen to God, then we've got to respond to what He says. If we claim to believe in God, we need to therefore find the acceptable time to confess our faith in God and repent of our sins against God. In Psalm 32, verses 5 and 6, David, the king of Israel, said, I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you are forgiven, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Now, in the earlier passage there, in verse 3, he says, when I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. Day and night your hand was heavy on me, and my vitality was turned into the ground of summer. David said, there was a time I did not use the time I had properly concerning my sin. I tried to hide it. It led him into further sin. He sinned with Bathsheba and the adultery, but then he tried to cover it up. And he murdered a man. And he lied. And these sins haunted him. He knew he was not right with God, but you see, there was a time when he tried to keep silent. What about us? Have we found ourselves at times in our life when we know there's sin? It needs to be addressed. It needs to be purged. We need to come to God and confess it. We need to acknowledge our faith in Him. We need to repent. But we hide it. We push it back. David warns us about that in this passage. He says, don't be like the mule. Don't be like the stubborn mule that refuses understanding. Verse 8 of Psalm 32, I'll instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Don't be like the dumb animal. Use our time. Come out of sin. Today is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6, 1 and 2. Paul almost persuaded Agrippa in Acts 26. He said, almost you persuade me to be a Christian. Paul said, I would be God, but this day, not only almost, but altogether, all who hear my voice will be such as I am, except for these chains. Today, now, don't put it off. Why are you delaying? Why delay? Why misuse the time God has given you to be right with Him, to change heart and life, to conform to His will? What keeps us from wisely using our time? A lot of things, I'm sure, that do. But let me offer a few things from God's Word that can hinder us from effectively using the time God has blessed us with. One is, we get tangled up with the world. Get tangled up with the things in the world. And we begin to think that life's going to always be this way. You know, we don't realize how time passes until sometimes we come across the son of a student long ago, you see, like this morning. Or we look in the mirror and we realize, you know, those wrinkles didn't used to be there, and those age spots, they didn't used to be there, but they are now, and the gray hair, it's there now where it once was not. But more than that, we get tangled up in all the things that are going on around us, and we get sucked in to living for the here and now. Genesis 19 and 16. You remember when Lot lingered? He lingered. When the angels, the messengers from God, came and warned him about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And the men had take hold of his hand and his wife's hand and his two daughters' hands, and God was being merciful to them and brought them out of the city. Here's the merciful God, who is eternal, helping these people who had become entangled in the here and now and lingered when they should have left, when they should have fled. They hesitated when they should have run. And sometimes we're like that. Sometimes we hesitate when we ought to attack. We procrastinate when we ought to produce. We compromise when we ought to contend. We don't use our time sometimes because we become entangled with the world. We begin to love it. Remember the parable of the soils in Mark 4th chapter? In that passage, Jesus, in explaining the parable, said that the seeds that fell among the thorns, these are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And you see, the people that are described as a thorny soil, they had as much time, all things being equal, as the good soil people do. What's the difference? Well, that you see how we respond to the Word of God, how we use our time to do the will of God. Worldly entanglements can rob us of our opportunities by us making decisions that rather than redeeming our time for God, we fill our time running after vain pursuits. Vain pursuits that will not help us when we become like the flower in the desert, when we die, when we are no longer in the context of time. What keeps us from using our time wisely sometimes is family concerns. Sometimes family concerns. In Luke the 9th chapter, verse 61, Jesus responded when one said to him, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house." And Jesus said to him, "No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Jesus is teaching a lesson of commitment and priorities. And he said, establish the priority so that your commitment is unwavering to not say, first, let me do something else. Even to the helping of family, he said, there's times when we have to choose the difference to do the will of God rather than compromise God's will for the sake even of those who are closest to us in this context of time. Because, you see, God is to be closer to us than anyone that we live with in the context of time. Because He's eternal. See? And perhaps if we begin to think about life within that framework, then that will help us with the commitments and priorities of our lives. That while we hold dear the precious relationships that we have and are formed within the context of time, they are not to be compared with the relationship that we have with the Eternal One. Now, if we don't think about God and ourselves in those terms, we need to start doing it. Because unless we do that, what will our choices be? What will we choose? We'll choose the here and now, because that's before our eyes. That's what we feel. That's what we experience. And we will not have been committing ourselves to the relationship with God. So you see, seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness is about using our time wisely. Of course, unbelief also robs us of a wise use of our time. Some in Acts 17:32, when they heard Paul preach about the resurrection, mocked. They were unbelievers. And though they had time and opportunity, they did not obey the gospel. You see, unbelief tends toward man defining what is important and the important use of time within the context of himself. If we don't have faith, if we don't believe in God, and we don't believe in His Son Jesus Christ, then we will not, nor would we be expected to be using our time to honor them, to put them first. So belief is at the heart of how we're going to use our time. It's a fundamental thought, but really, you know, when I consistently choose those things that are not the will of God, and consistently choose those things that don't give time and attention to an increasing of the purposes of God in my life and those around me, then I'm not expressing faith, and you know, a lack of faith robs us of a redeeming use of our time. Sometimes it's just an issue of convenience that tempts us and draws us away from a wise use of our time. Because it's not always convenient to obey God. It's not always convenient to be a Christian. If we expect that being a Christian means it all is to nicely and neatly fit into our convenience, and we've got a mistaken view of what it means to sacrifice for Jesus Christ. When Paul said, "It is no longer I that live," he said, "I am crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." If my concept of my time and my service to God is, if it fits neatly into my convenience, great. And if not, if I'm inconvenienced, then then you know, it's not going to be the priority any longer. I'm a poor steward of the time God has given me. See, God, remember, God gave us our time. However much we have, because God created it. And we are the benefactors of time and the opportunities it brings and the responsibilities and the blessings that come to it with it as well. But if I rather selfishly use my time for me rather than God's will first and put that priority in place, then I won't use my time wisely. Jesus said in John 9 and verse 4, we must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. He said, I must do God's work now. Now, while it's light, while it's day, while the time is right. I guess that's why we have daylight savings time, isn't it, originally? So there'd be a longer work period of sunlight. I don't know. Whatever you put on the clock, I guess, is still going to be up the same amount of time, isn't it? But we want to manipulate the clock. And so, it's, I guess, not inconvenience ourselves so much. I don't know. Point is, though, if we begin to think about our convenience more than doing the will of God, we're going to be poor stewards of our time. We're not going to be responsible people like we should. We're not going to be obedient children of the Lord. And when we stand before Him in the day of judgment, and He asks us, Joe, how'd you use your time? Why didn't you use your time to sacrifice for me and to obey me and to do my will? What am I going to say? What are you going to say? Because you see, He's given us this context of time, this blessing of time. Now is the moment. It's not about personal convenience. It's about committing ourselves and surrendering ourselves to do the will of God in our lives. So how can we overcome these time bandits, worldly entanglements? Things that are right, like caring for our family, but if we're not careful, can become the instrument of our undoing. Unbelief, or just personal convenience. What can we do? How can we address these things that hinder the effective use of our time? One thing to do is by developing youthful piety. That just means remembering God when you're young. Setting a pattern from your youth forward. In Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1, and actually verse 9 of the 11th chapter beginning, says, rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. In other words, it says, when you're young, enjoy youth. Rejoice in it, but know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment. Youth is not a shield against judgment and responsibility and the wise use of your time. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. In other words, when you're young, remove sin then. Begin establishing a pattern when you're young in life to put away sin and to walk with God, because you're not always going to be young. Youth is fleeting. Childhood vanishes. Some of you were babies when I moved here. Now, you're mid-teens. See, you're not a child forever. So, start young. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. You see, while the time of youth is yours, remember God. Before the difficult days come, and the years draw nigh when you say, I have no pleasure in them, understand that with the passing of time, as we grow older, when we do not set a pattern of godliness from an early age, there is a great temptation that has to be overcome if we are to indeed follow God in our lives. And the temptation is to allow the trials, the circumstances, the difficulties of life to consume our time to the forgetting of God. Or to let worldly entanglements to draw us away from God and selfishly live in the moment. satisfy the flesh, if we're going to overcome the things that rob us of our time, do not allow your young years, the formative years, to be the years where you do not think about God, where you say, later on, then I'll start. Then I'll begin. No, it begins now. Now is the acceptable time. When you are young, you establish the pattern of remembering your Creator, so that when life's trials and troubles come to you, you will be equipped. You'll be equipped because you have a relationship of faith and redemption in the Son with the eternal God, the one who is not defined by time, so that when you find yourself in a trial, it will not overwhelm you because you think there's no way out and time seems to just squeeze in upon you and there's nothing you can do. But it doesn't have to be that way, because you've remembered God early and continuously. And you remember that He is an eternal God, and your faith rests in Him. Now, if you choose instead as a young person not to be obedient to God, not to live by faith and do His will, understand what results from that. Understand that what you are doing is allowing sin to harden your heart. You're allowing you have a mistaken view of time, thinking that there's always going to be time for you. There's not. And you're allowing an opportunity for Satan and sin to enter your heart and to turn you from truth and righteousness. If you want to use your time wisely, redeem the time, begin when you're young. Flee youthful lusts, 2 Timothy 2:22 says. But he also says, be an example to the believers. Let no man despise your youth, but be an example to those who believe in word and faith and purity and manner of life. 1 Timothy 4:12. So begin early and obey God. How do we overcome the time bandits? We have to subordinate our earthly duties to our heavenly duties. We have to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We have to establish the priority. We have to say, I'm going to use the time that God has given me to serve Him first, to set my priorities in order. It says in that same passage, going on to the next verse, it says, Matthew 6:33, therefore do not worry about tomorrow. That is, do not be overly anxious. Do not be drawn away with a distracting care about tomorrow. Time. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I've been accused at times of fretting. I'm trying to overcome that. Because, you know, fretting just doesn't change what's going to happen usually. So you don't overly become anxious, and especially to distract you from what you ought to do, of seeking God first and doing His will first. And so, you see, we need to simplify. We need to simplify our lives and prioritize our lives, and then maximize the opportunities, maximize the use of the time that we have. We can overcome the things that rob us of an effective use of our time by living carefully. Careful living. Go with me now to Ephesians 5. We've alluded to it, we've even quoted it, but let's read it together. Ephesians 5:15 says, See then that you walk circumspectly. That means carefully. That means looking all around. Not as fools, but as wise. If you were walking through a field and you knew there were rattlesnakes under the rocks, you'd be watching carefully how you walk. I hope you would. Well, he says, life needs to be lived that way. In a wise, watchful manner. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. That is, there are calamities that come in life. Are we equipped for them? Are we prepared for them? How will we address them? by a wise use of time, by careful living, by watching for those things and making decisions to do those things and pattern our life in a way that we're doing things that benefit our soul. Things that will abound to the honoring of God, to the service of our brethren and of those around us. To live carefully also means to endure, to be patient. In James, the 5th chapter, 7 through 11, after James has talked about the uncertainty and brevity of life, he talks to the brethren about being patient. Being patient. And maybe we have not always connected that part of James in the 5th chapter with what he said in the end of chapter 4, but I believe they connect. You see, he said to live a life that depends upon God and seeks His will. If the Lord wills, we'll both live and do this or that. And then chapter 5, he goes on to say, I know some of you are suffering. Some of you are being mistreated. God's going to bring in judgment those who sin against you. But he says, be patient, brethren, until the Lord comes. Be patient. Endure. Use our time consistently to set an example before the world. In Colossians 4, verses 5 and 6. Colossians 4, 5 and 6. The Word of God says, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. And here's how we have an opportunity. How are we going to live around people? Every day, we have an opportunity to use our time in a wise way to set godly examples, to let our speech always be seasoned with be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. In other words, every day we decide in the time that we have, the language that we use, the speech that we have, we decide if we're going to use that in a way that's going to help and be favorable or destroy and hurt. We use our time as an influence upon those around us, like salt. Influences flavor and influences stability or preservation. Set an example of how you use your time. You see, when you worship God, you're setting an example of the priority of time. When you pray, when you read the Bible, you see, all those take time. They take time. But you set that example. You have that consistent example of the use of your time. And it'll be benefiting you and those you have an influence over. We need to remember, if we're going to effectively use our time, we have to remember that life is brief and uncertain, as we mentioned in James, the 4th chapter. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city, we'll live there, spend a year there, we'll buy and sell and make a profit, we'll make a gain. James says, you don't know what's on tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen. Your life is like a vapor that appears for a little time and it vanishes away. Really, every one of us. If you live 70 years or even 80 years by reason of strength, Moses said in Psalm 9, it's all sorrow and it's brief and we fly away. Life is so short and brief. So because it's brief and it's uncertain, because really we don't know what's going to happen in the next hour, much less the next day or the next week or the next month or the next year or the next decade or the next century. But we do know that right now God has blessed us with time. We're alive. And so we ought to say, if the Lord will, we will live and do this or that. To him, therefore, James said, to him, therefore, who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it's sin. We know we ought to be doing good, using our time to do the will of God, but we don't do it, we're sinning. Let's repent of that sin. Let's change our heart toward that sin right now. Let's make up our mind to do the will of God, to obey Him in faith now and every day. Proverbs 27 and verse 1 says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. You don't know. Do we believe it? If we believe it, then we won't put off doing the will of God. If we believe that we don't know what a day is going to bring forth, then we'll use our time right now instead of wasting our time. What happens when we waste our time? Very briefly, and the lesson will be yours. When we waste our time, our talents are squandered. We don't develop the abilities and opportunities God has given us, has placed within our hands when we waste our time. See that as students in school. You can see that in the job force at work. When we waste our time, the talent that we could be using is squandered. We see that in the Lord's church. We see that as Christians. If we don't use our time to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord, the Word of God, if we don't use our time to be growing and maturing in Christ, we squander our opportunities. And we will answer for that. Matthew 25:26, just like the one talent man did. When we waste our time, our spiritual growth is hindered. It's hindered. And it's of our own doing. Because the Lord has given us everything we need to grow. When we waste our time, our character remains undeveloped. It's not developed. We don't add to our faith virtue and our virtue knowledge and our knowledge brotherly kindness and so forth, godliness, and our godliness, brotherly kindness, and our godly brotherly kindness, love. We're not growing, we're not adding, we're not increasing, and so our character remains undeveloped. How do you get that back? Well, you can't get back the past, but you can start today. You can start today and not use your past as an excuse to not obey God. How must that grieve the heart of God? That those whom He loves, who have opportunities to do His will and to be blessed in the Savior and to be saved in the Son, look at the past and allow the past to be their excuse for not using the present time they have to do the will of God. Use your time now to be saved in the Christ and develop yourself and grow in the Lord. Paul said, forgetting the things that are behind and pressing on to the things that are before, we press onward under the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Don't let the past hamstring you and tie you and prevent you in your own mind from what you can be in Christ. What you can be as a child of God. When we waste our time, the lost remain lost. Think about that. When we waste our time and don't use it to spread the gospel, the lost stay lost. Who's going to teach them if we don't use the time we have and opportunities we have to do it? You know what else happens? The world gets worse. Evil and corrupt men, you know, evil men and imposters grow worse and worse. 2 Timothy 3:13. But you see, and you might say, well, that's not dependent upon me. God said evil is just going to get worse and worse. Well, that's true, but at the same time, Jesus said, be the light of the world and be the salt of the earth. You have a preserving influence of godliness. If we don't use our time to do that, the world gets worse. When we waste our time and are not the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And you know what happens finally when we waste our time? We lose our souls. We lose our souls. Revelation 3, verses 15 and 16. Is it worth it? Look what happened. Revelation 3:15. Jesus said to the church of the Laodiceans, I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Now he goes on to say, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. If we don't use our time to get right with God and to live for God, we will lose our souls. But we have time today. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Time is a wonderful blessing. We don't see it, but it holds a tremendous power in our lives for good when it is used wisely. when we squander it and waste it, when we don't respect it and honor the God who gave it to us, then we are choosing a course of life that takes us away from God in this time and forever away from Him when time will be no more. What will your choice be? What will my choice be? Will we use our time? Will we allow the love of God to lift us out of the depth of sin? We're going to sing that in just a moment. Love lifted me. Will you allow what God has done in His Son to lift you out of the depth and death of sin? To live in this time for eternity. Obey His gospel. Become a Christian. Put away sin as a child of God and use your time effectively to walk with the Savior. While together we stand and sing, won't you come? In loving time.